Michael, let's get back to this incredible, huge lake that, you know, just busted through the ice that was protecting it, damming it, but did it wipe out civilizations at the time as this happened?
Yeah, there were people there to see it. We call these guys Paleo-Indian hunters. They're all part of the Clovis people that used to hunt mammoths and mastodons. Gainey culture and Diebert culture are the two specific kinds that we refer to. And what they saw rolling down on top of them was a wall of water just about 100 miles wide. Yeah, and this is kind of something that's beyond our imagination, but rolled right through, took out everything in its path, drowned the mammoth, the mastodons, and this was probably accompanied by some really nasty earthquakes at the same time. Because as you're melting all this ice, George, that takes a lot of weight off of the continents.
Right.
And so you get something that we call isostatic springback. Where Hudson's Bay is today was depressed almost 3,000 feet. And so as the Earth's crust was bounding back, you got really nasty earthquakes on top of the floods and everything else. And probably the worst calamity for the continent itself was after the lake drained, you had a lot of mud left. And for your listeners, glaciers are, you know, people like to think of them as being nice and pristine white, but glaciers are really muddy, mucky sorts of things because they're heavy. They scour up literally gouge the rocks out of the earth, and then they grind them up into a fine powder. And when the ice finally melts, you have this dust that's left. And it had been falling into the bottom of the lakes for, you know, literally 1,000 years. And then water's gone, dries out, the winds come blowing from the west like they do in the northern part of North America. And it blew all of that dust all across the eastern United States. We call this LUS, and that's what makes the fields in Illinois and Indiana and Ohio so incredibly fertile today. But think of the Dust Bowl everybody thinks was pretty phenomenal, but imagine a Dust Bowl that lasted for almost 400 years. And by the time it's done, there are places where the dust deposits are 50 and 60 feet thick in the American Midwest. But the animals, most of the plants that had been there before were extinct. I mean, literally drowned in dust.
And yet it grows back eventually.
It does. But, you know, George, the other thing that happens during this time period, and this is part of that vicious cycle that human beings go through, but people are having trouble surviving, obviously, and we see some pretty brutal warfare that must have broken out at this time period. 67% of all the male bodies that we find that dates to this time period show traumatic injuries. And what that means is that we've got club wounds in the skull. We've got spear points embedded in bone. Perifractures, which is what happens when you lift your arm to block a blow. So these people are fighting like crazy. Jeez. Over the resources that are left in America to feed their families.
I mean, I was going to say, what does that tell you about this planet? I mean, is this what you would say a justifiable war?
Well, if there is
survival?
If there is anything as a justifiable war, George, it's trying to feed your family. Is trying to survive. And certainly, you know, they tried very hard to survive, and they made it. But, boy, the cost was overwhelming.
Yeah. Let me point something out, too. Even though people of the Nightland and, you know, people of the lakes, all of the other books that we've written, even though they're novels, have you got your copy there in front of you?
I sure do.
Okay. If you'll go to the very last page, you'll find a bibliography there. And even though we're writing these things as fiction, we have the nonfiction material available. So when people read these things and say, wait a minute, what kind of twisted imagination do these gears have? In reality, everything that we do in these books is taken from either the archaeological information ethnographic analogy or the oral traditions of the descendants of the people themselves.
So this is fiction based on fact.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's here. Have you, in your research, ever uncovered past civilizations that go back way beyond what you would expect? You know, Michael Cremo, for example, believes in his work, Forbidden Archaeology, that civilizations may go back millions of years ago.
We haven't seen anything like that. We've pretty much been around the world, and I have to tell you, as North American archaeologists, dang, George, we find something 15,000 years old here that's Clovis or pre-Clovis, and we get pretty excited.
You get excited.
We bounce up and
that.
Down. Yeah, you know, we drool and make odd sounds. But then when Kathy and I were in South Africa, the first day that we were there, we walked out and picked up a flake that had to be 350,000 years old. Yeah, got to go to Sterkfontein and see the excavations of Littlefoot, and this is an Australopithecine. Yeah, she dates to 3.3 million years. So yeah, you come back to North America, and all of a sudden 15,000 doesn't seem so exotic anymore.
And why is that? Why North America? Why isn't it older in terms of population?
Because of those big glaciers that we've been talking about.
So you don't think they snuck over earlier?
Well, we haven't found any evidence yet of that, George.
And I mean, maybe they were wiped out. Maybe they were here, but wiped out.
Very possible. And here's the other thing, is that we have surveyed for archaeological sites maybe 5% of North America. There's so much left out there to be discovered. 20 years from now, we're going to be telling you a totally different story about the peopling of the Americas. And I can tell you that for sure, because in the last 10 years, we've rewritten the story of the peopling of the Americas.